The faithfulness of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for his faithfulness, even when I'm not faithful. Yes. Amen. Aren't you glad he's faithful even when we're not faithful? Yes. Hallelujah. He's merciful even when I'm not merciful. He's graceful when I'm not graceful. He's loving when I'm not lovable. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad we don't serve a moody God? Hallelujah. I know some moody Christians. I won't say any names. Hallelujah. But how many are thankful he's not affected by our moods? He's not affected by our actions. Come on, somebody. His faithfulness is greater than my faithfulness. His mercy is greater than my mercy. His grace is greater than my grace. Thank God. Hallelujah. Because, you know, if we acted out of, if he acted like we did, how many know we'd call out the she-bears? We'd want to call down fire from heaven. Amen. Anybody ever been there, done that? You don't have to raise your hand. It's all right. Hallelujah. But his actions are not affected by my actions. And I'm thankful for that. You ought to be thankful for that this morning. Praise break. That calls you to do a little praise break. Hallelujah. Because there's times I don't deserve, in my own mind, I don't deserve his faithfulness or his love to me. But aren't you glad it's not by what we deserve? But it's by what he paid for that we can tap into and we can receive and we can access this morning. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's a song as simple as Jesus Loves Me. How many know that's one of the most profound songs ever written? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the love of God this morning. Hallelujah. Whether we sing the simplest of songs or the greatest of orchestras, if it's done as unto the Lord, hallelujah, the anointing is there. Amen. The girls did this song, my favorite, one of my favorites. I got some favorites, but Now Behold the Lamb. And if we ever get that our focus is on the Lamb, that even when they would bring their sacrifices in the Old Testament and they would bring them into the priest and they would offer them to be sacrificed, how many know the priest never examined the person bringing the lamb? He only ever examined the lamb. Do you know you're not under scrutiny this morning? You're not being examined. The lamb is being examined on behalf of you this morning. My focus must be forever on the lamb. Hallelujah. I taught a couple weeks ago and I talked about what we see with our eyes. You remember that? And we talked about when the servant of Elijah went out and he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? Because we are encamped round about with a whole host of Syrian army." And the prophet said to him, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he might see." How many know he had limited vision? Limited vision will always cause you to focus on what's right here instead of what's just eternal and what's beyond what we see right here and right now. Amen? And so he said, "Open his eyes that he might see." And when he opened his eyes, he said, they were encompassed round about with the whole host of the army of heaven. Hallelujah. How many know we can't focus on what is just right now, here today, temporary, but we must focus on something that's bigger and greater even than what we see. And the Amplified says, "And they led them out of that place, and he said to that Syrian army, not on this day and not in this city." Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. How many know sometimes you've got to say to the things that look like enemies and obstacles in your way, not on my day and not in this city. Hallelujah. How many know you got to declare some things? The word of your mouth is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword, the scripture says. Speak to the thing and it shall be done. Hallelujah. But I love that because John the Revelator comes over in the book of Revelation and he doesn't say, "I see," but he says, "I saw." And what did he see? What did he saw? He seesawed. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. What else did he see? "I saw a candlestick. I saw a throne. I saw a lamb as it had been slain. I saw. How many know John saw those things with his own physical eyes? He saw and perceived. I stand a position that I'm not just seeing something. I saw it already done. I saw a cross. I saw a throne. I saw a lamb slain. I saw a candlestick. Hallelujah. Our focus has to be not on just what we see, but what we saw. Hallelujah. I might just preach a message sometime called the Seesaw. Hallelujah. But today I want to go to, bring up Luke 6 and 45 real quick for me, Robert, if you can. I'm going to hit a couple scriptures and then go to my main scripture, and you all can help me preach, all right? It's great to have Bo and Juanita back with us this morning. They've been away for a while, but they're back home. Hallelujah. And it's glad to have them here. It's glad, good to have all of you guys here this morning. Luke 6 and 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth, forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. How many know you speak out of what's in your heart? Whether it's bitterness, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's faith, whether it's goodness. How many know that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth can only speak what's in the heart? Hallelujah. How many know your mind and your heart need to be in agreement with what the word says? Go to Psalms 19 and 14. This is one of those scriptures that I kind of like keep written on the backside of my hand, tape it to my refrigerator. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. How many know sometimes we ought to censor the words of our mouth? And when I mean censor, I'm not saying don't be cussing. That's not even what I'm saying. That you could say that too. Hallelujah. But how many know what we speak out of our mouth sometimes? We either speak victory or we speak defeat. We either speak life or we speak death. And you know, it's the prayer of my heart. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In other words, let it be what you would have me say. Let it be what you would have me speak. Let it be a word that's encouraging, a word in season, a word that brings life, a word that changes things. Do you realize you have the power to change atmospheres, circumstances? We can speak in a moment and say something detrimental to somebody, or we can speak something and bring life. And I thank the Lord that He is putting a coal of fire to my lips. Amen. Because sometimes we need to have our mouth are seasoned, and the way we say things should always be a word of uplifting. I mean, no, you can bring correction and still feel loved. Amen. You can bring correction to your children and they'll still feel loved. But the way you do it may affect how they respond and how they feel. How many know sometimes the best correction is one like, you've just been chastised, but it just hit you so fast. My grandmother had a way of saying stuff to you like, yeah, grandma, she would just straighten you out in a heartbeat, but you knew she loved you. You never took it personal because you knew she loved you. Grandma Ethel, she'd just say it like it was. Hallelujah. But the words of our mouth should not be one of defeat, but it should be one of victory. Amen? Can you agree with that? And I said, no small talk. And I'm not talking about chitter-chatter. I'm talking about seeing yourself as small. How many know the confession of the spies who went to spy out the land, there was too much small talk? They said, yeah, we see the land. It flows with milk and honey. It's our land. It's a great land. But we see giants in the land, and we are in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we are in their eyes. How many know the words of their mouth cost that group of people 40 years in the wilderness? Too much small talk. You're a grasshopper. You can't do it. You're not able to take the land. Hallelujah. So I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth, what I confess, the meditation of my, let my heart and my mind agree with what your word says, because you're my strength and you're my redeemer. Hallelujah. Romans 4:16 through 17 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. How many know Abraham's circumstances did not line up with the word that he believed in? How many know sometimes your circumstances and your faith and your heart don't all line up with the same thing? Amen? Hallelujah. How many know God prophesied to, God spoke to Abraham and told him he would be a father of many nations when he had no children? How many know it's easy to believe it when you got a whole household full, but what about when there's none there? You don't see with your own natural eyes what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Now go to Ezekiel 37 for me. Ezekiel 37. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, then there was a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Everybody say amen. Amen. Somebody describe to me what is in the valley. Describe to me what you see in the valley. Dry bones. Very dry bones. No life. Somebody else. Dust. Come on, what do you see? When you see this, you hear me say these things, what do you see? Death. History? Creepy? What? Desolate. Defeat. Anybody else? Discouraged. Come on, you got to think harder. What do you see? Opportunity. We're changing. What do you see? Life. Come on, somebody. What's in this valley? Greatness. What's in the valley? Breath. What's in the valley? Promise. What's in the valley? An exceeding great army. That's what I'm looking for. Come on, we look at this scripture and we say, oh man, we see dry bones, we see death, we see desolate, we see creepy, we see it's dry. It's because where's our focus? We start describing, we start talking about what's there. Man, it's dry, it's very dry. And he says, son of man, can these bones live? And we say, I don't know, Lord, can they? Only you know. Only you know, Lord. But how many know our focus has got to shift? And that's what we've been talking about, seeing what we don't see. Our focus has got to shift so that when we see this picture, we don't see dry bones. We don't see dust. We don't see dearth. We don't see desolation. We see hope. We see potential. We see an exceeding great army. We see an opportunity for God to stand up in the midst of what seems like it's forsaken, it's lost, it's broken, it's gone, it's dead. That might be what you see in your life right now, but you need to look harder. How many know the prophet said to Simba, you got to look harder. Look again. What do you see? And he saw the example. He saw the reflection of his father in the waters. Look again. Look harder. What do you see? Because if all you ever see is death and desolation and the struggle you are going through right now, you will stay right where you are until you stand up and believe. You know what? God said there's an exceeding great army in this valley, but I'm going to stand up and I might not see it and I might not even believe it. But the command to me was prophesy, son of man. Begin to prophesy. Begin to speak it. Begin to declare it. Begin to call it into existence. Begin to say it so. And you know what happens? As he starts to do that, he starts to change his focus. And all of a sudden, something starts to happen. There's a noise. There's a rattle. There's a shaking. There's a disturbance. There's a movement. There's something happens. Because I'm going to tell you, if you pull up a rock and you sit down, where you are, that's where you're going to stay. Amen? Something has got to stir you to the place that you say, I don't like what I see, or I'm not satisfied with what I see or where I am, and I will not let my current circumstances limit me from what God wants to do in the midst of my life. Hallelujah. And so our focus has got to change. The prophet said to the man, the servant, he said, go after he had prophesied a famine in the land and said, it's not going to rain for about 3 years. Hallelujah. You know, we've been in a season where we've had rain straight for what, 15, 16, 18 days, something like that. We've had rain, measurable rain. But I will take that anytime over the loss of rain. That's one of the things that I don't like is when there is no rain. Hallelujah. Now, I don't like floods, but how many know rain? At least rain, we got some moisture. But when it's dry, and it's very dry, hallelujah, I start thinking about my well. I start thinking about my sources and if they're still going to be there. Amen? Our focus changes. Hallelujah. But he begins to say to him, prophesy, son of man. I mean, what does it mean to prophesy? Speak to it. Speak a word. Divination just means speak on behalf of God. What's God saying over your current situation? What is God saying over your current circumstances? It might not even be your circumstances. Hallelujah. It might not even be your issue. Your valley might be green. Your valley might be okay. But I'm going to tell you, I come in contact with people all the time who are in this valley, and it is dry, and it is broken, and it looks forsaken. I mean, the scripture says that the bones were bleached. They've been there in that place a long time. They've been there a while. Hallelujah. But the prophet said to the servant, he said, I need you to go up onto the mountain and I need you to look and I need you to tell me if you see any signs of rain. And the servant went and he come back. He said, man of God, I don't see any rain. But the man of God did not take no for an answer. He said, go again and look again. And he come back. He said, man of God, I do not see any rain. Man of God said, go seven times. Hallelujah. Go seven times. In other words, don't quit looking to the heavens for your answer, because when you quit looking to the heavens, you start thinking it's not going to come to pass. And he said, finally, he comes back and says, well, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I see a glimpse. I'm starting to get a little hope. I'm starting to hear some bones shaking. I'm starting to hear some rattling. I see a cloud about the size of the man's hand. I mean, sometimes you got to look until you see the hand of God in the heavens and say, whatever is true in the heavens is true also in the earth. And whatever is true in the heavens is true also in my earth. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit looking. I'm not going to quit going. I may not see it this time. I might not see it next time. But I'm not going to quit going until I see what God has spoken to be the truth in my life. Hallelujah. You know, we can look in circumstances and we can look around and say, well, it just don't look like it's panning out. Maybe this is not for me. Maybe it's not going to happen. And what we do is we start becoming comfortable and content with where we are. Yep. Amen? Yeah. Comfortable is a dangerous place to be. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong with being content. But how many know comfortable? When we get comfortable, it challenges you not to move on. I'll tell on me and Lisa. Some of us have been meeting here on Thursday night, and we go walking. And if anybody wants to walk on Thursday nights, get a hold of us. And we go walking these hills, and we pass Joyce and them. They're walking the hills. But we are both saying, you know what? Tonight I was just comfortable. It was really tempting to just stay there on the couch or stay there in the recliner because it was a really long day. Hallelujah. But how many know once we got here and we got moving, we were glad we did. Because actually, when I got home, I had more energy than when I left. I went home and I got some things done. I was productive. Hallelujah. I got some things to happen. But how many know if I would have stayed comfortable, that's where I'd have been. And tomorrow night, I'd have been just as comfortable. Hallelujah. You will not change things until you become uncomfortable with where you are and say, you know what? There's more in me than this. There's better things for me. God is calling me up to something higher. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we can get comfortable in worship. We can get comfortable in ministry. We can get comfortable in careers, jobs. We can get comfortable in relationships. Hallelujah. But how many know he begins to say to him, son of man, can they live? And he said, I don't know, Lord. I just don't know. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to prophesy. I want you to begin to speak it. I want you to declare what saith the Lord to these dry bones. Hallelujah. One of the first things you got to do is change your focus. And then understand that your words have power. Hallelujah. And he said to the dry bones, listen. That's how the Message Bible says it. Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he began to prophesy to the bones. And one of the things that happens when you begin to prophesy the word of the Lord or speak the word of the Lord, I'm not talking about being all spiritual and prophetic in that sense, and that's okay too, but I'm saying that your words have power, but the words that we have are the words of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart that focuses on my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. And so our words have power. We begin to speak life. It says, dry bones, listen. The first thing you got to do is quit calling it dead, dried, forsaken, or hopeless. Hallelujah. I mean, you can't confess negativity and positive words at the same time. You can't be speaking life and death out of your mouth at the same time. You can't praise and whine at the same time. You can't complain and worship at the same time. How many know it is a conscious decision of what's going to come out of my mouth today? Hallelujah. It's a conscious decision in how I'm going to interact with my children today. It's a conscious decision how I'm going to interact with my spouse today. It's a conscious decision how I'm going to interact with the Lord today. Hallelujah. How many know he doesn't listen to whining any more than anybody else around you do? Hallelujah. How many know about 3 minutes into your whining, whoever you're talking to is turned off. They're done. Amen. Hallelujah. Because whining never changed anything. Hallelujah. If you need to change the channel, get up and change it. If you need to change your life, get up and change it. Put one foot in front of the other. But don't keep speaking death and hopelessness over your situation and expect it to change. Hallelujah. If you are constantly downing your children, don't expect them to be productive. If you speak in negativity to your spouse, don't expect them to change. Hallelujah. But a little sweet talk will get you way farther. Amen. Hallelujah. A little sweet talk. Honey, I really like the way you look in that apron. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. We know the power of our words. Instead of saying, "Are you cooking tonight?" you say, "Honey, I like the way you look in that apron." It works. It works. Hallelujah. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, our words have power, and not only just because we speak it. You know, we can name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, all of those kind of things. But the word that I'm talking about speaking is, I know what the word says is true of me. I know what the word says my potential is. I know what God said is available to us. Those are the words I have to speak. Anybody had to speak to yourself in your physical body before? Hallelujah. I told you I had the flu a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you, me and myself, we had a lot of talking to do. I said, "Come on, body. This flu, Jesus never had the flu. Flu, you got to go. You got to go. I don't have time for the flu. I need healing in my body right now." Yeah. Hallelujah. My stomach would start to rumble, and I'd say, "Stomach, you calm down." I'm serious. Y'all think I'm kidding. I didn't say it out loud. Damn, think I'd talking out of my head with a fever. But I'm like, "Stomach, you got to calm down." Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes you got to speak to yourself in situations and say, "Come on, get a hold of yourself here. Come on and get a hold of yourself here." Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, do your thing. The power and the spirit and the presence of God in your life, stir up inside of me. The Holy Ghost inside of me, going to have to push out everything inside of me that don't belong there. Amen. So I'm not just talking about you just say it and it happens. I'm talking about being in agreement with what the word says, being in communication with the Father in our life. And what he said, prophesy simply means to speak on behalf of God. What is God saying to your situation? Hallelujah. What's God speaking into your life? Quit looking for the bones and start speaking to the army that's in the midst of those bones. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's profound to me. Quit looking at the dead bones and start looking for the army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke that to me. I'm taking that one. That one's mine. I'm taking that one. Quit looking at the bones and start speaking to the army. Army, hear the word of the Lord. Army, hear the word of the Lord. Stand up. Bones come to bones. Sinew come to sinew. Start realizing you are an exceeding great army. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are called. You are purposed. You are destined. You are all that the word says that you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are salt. You are light. You are his workmanship, created unto good works. That's who you are in Christ. And I don't care who's ever told you anything other than what I just told you. They're wrong and I'm right. Because that's what the word says is true about you. Hallelujah. Somebody might have told you you're not smart enough to do that. That's not true. Somebody told you you don't have the right last name to do that. That's not true. Somebody told you you don't have the finances to do what you need to do. That's not true. Hallelujah. I mean, we got to start speaking to the army instead of crying over the bones. Come on, somebody. We got to start speaking to the army. You got people in your house. You got to start speaking to the army. You got to start pouring in the pure and the clean and the real. And as you pour in, you pour in, you pour in, it flushes out and it flushes out and it washes out. Hallelujah. How many know something, you know, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, they said, do you want us to go in? Do you want us to pull out all the tares? They said, no, let them alone. Because when you start pulling tares, you start pulling good seed. Nurture and fertilize the good seed. And that'll take care of the tares. How many know we got to start focusing? What they said is, oh my goodness, we got tares in the field. We got tares amongst us. Well, bless God, we got wheat among us. We got good seed among us. Let's start focusing on the good seed. Let's start fertilizing the good seed, the good field. Hallelujah. And quit focusing on negativity and everything. We want to talk about everything that's wrong about us instead of everything that's right about us. I mean, over the years, even in ministry and in churches, it's been all about what's been wrong about us instead of what's been right about us. We weren't holy enough. We weren't righteous enough. We didn't read enough. We didn't pray enough. And how many know after at the end of the day, sometimes you just felt like, I don't know, I can do this. Hallelujah. Instead of focusing on, you know what's true about you? He loves you more than life itself. You are the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. You are all that he's called you to be. You have purpose. You have calling in you. You have a reason to live. And not only are you, can your life be changed, but you're world changers. Do we have any world changers in this room today? Come on, somebody. We say that the disciples turned the world upside down. That's not really true. They started it, but they train people who train people who train people, and together they turn the world upside down. Come on, somebody. We got to train somebody. We got to pour into somebody. We got to start speaking to the army. Oh, army, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, what I loved, and it was a trick, what I loved is when I ask you, what do you see in the valley? We started off negative. But before we were done, we had hope. We had an army. We had miracles. We had an opportunity for God to do the miraculous. In a moment of just a couple minutes, our focus so changed that all of a sudden now we see an army and not desolation and despair and gloom, despair, and agony on me. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to start speaking to the army this morning. Prophesy to the army. In Psalms, yep.
In Psalms and hymns
and spiritual songs.
Singing and making melody in your heart
to the Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah. And the secret of all that is be filled with the Spirit. Stay full of God. Stay full of. Don't let yourself get dried out. Don't let yourself get in a valley. Just begin to, if nothing else, just sing to yourself. Speak to yourself. You know, you don't have to wait for somebody else to say it to you. Speak it to yourself like you just said earlier. But, and it doesn't have to be a word. It could be a song that touches your heart.
Absolutely.
It could be a song that just ministers to you.
Changes your atmosphere.
Changes your atmosphere. Changes your surroundings, changes things about you, around you, and just listen to what the scripture says, you know, what God says in your heart and what God says to you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know why commercials work? They're repetitive, and they're catchy, and they have a jingle, right? You ever get a song stuck in your head? Anybody ever get a song stuck in your head? Or is that just me? You know, I can get a song stuck in my head for days days. Like I can wake up singing a song out of nowhere. It'll be stuck in my head. So Dan and I have this agreement. If you get a song stuck in your head, do not tell me what it is. We never tell, because then we both have that song stuck in our head. And it just takes you forever to get that song out of your head. Do you know that's why advertisement and stuff works? Because it's in your head and you don't even know it sometime. I'll be going down the road humming, and before I know it, it might even be a Budweiser commercial. Or yeah, but that tune is stuck in my head. And I've never even drank a Budweiser, but that song is in my head. So am I right? Have it your way, Burger King. You know, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. You guys know those jingles. Now you all got that stuck in your head, don't you? You can thank me for that later. Y'all going to want a cheeseburger when you leave today, because that's how it works, right? It's that power of that constantly going through your mind. How much more effective is the word, the scriptures, the song of worship? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you not too long ago, my granddaughter had this song stuck in her head. She gets it honest. It's a generational thing. And she just kept singing this song. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And she kept singing the lyrics to that song. And it was in a season in my life where I needed God to move. And I was the one day I'm on my lawnmower and that song, and she's singing, and that song is stuck in my head because she shared. She don't know the rule in our family. You don't share when you get a song stuck in your head. And so she shared her song. Now it's stuck in my head. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me as I stand here today. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me on my lawnmower right out next to the road and said, that baby's prophesying to you. And it was just as powerful. Nothing is impossible. And I said, all right, Lord, this is yours. This isn't mine. I'm not taking it with me anymore. I'm not carrying it. I'm not fixing it. I'm not figuring it out. But I'm going to receive the word of the Lord. It came from a three-year-old baby girl who prophesied over grandma and said, grandma, nothing is impossible. And it got stuck in my spirit. And I'm driving the lawnmower singing, nothing is impossible. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of you got to change, and what you pour into you is what's going to pour out of you. That's why it's so important to stay connected. How many of you, every now and then you just get a leak? Anybody ever had a leak? All depends on your day, but how many know sometimes you just got a leak in your spirit? You got to depend on somebody else to fill you back up. Amen? Let me tell you, if I'm down and if I'm struggling, the worst thing for me to do is disconnect myself and stay away from everything that I know is right and important. I got to find somebody who's got some Holy Ghost in them. I got to find somebody who's got some encouragement. I got to find somebody who can sing a song and get it stuck in my head that changes my focus. How many know? From the pulpit to the door, we need each other to pour into us, to fill us up, to stir our hearts, to challenge us, provoke us to good works. Hallelujah. I am not an island by myself. I need to depend on somebody. Hallelujah. I got to depend on Jesus. That's who I got to depend on. Hallelujah. Quit calling it dead, dry, forsaken, or hopeless. Quit looking for the bones and start speaking to the army in the midst of those bones. Can you see it? Can you speak it? Can you be a participator in it and not a spectator? I mean, you know, sometimes we're great spectators, but are we participators? We see the problem, but are we able to speak life into it? Prophesy to the wind, breathe breath into an army of people. Hallelujah. Ever had the breath knocked out of you? Physically or spiritually? Sometimes you need somebody to prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the wind. Blow, oh breath of God, blow over these bones. Blow over this army. Blow over this place. Blow over this situation. Blow into me, God. Hallelujah. Let me inhale your presence and exhale my fear. Let me inhale your goodness and exhale my inabilities. Let me inhale your strength and exhale my weakness. Somebody take a deep breath in here this morning and say, I'm going to inhale his goodness, and I'm going to exhale everything that's not profitable, that's not me, that's not who I was called to be. Hallelujah. Prophesy to the wind. Blow upon your offspring. Blow upon your situations. Breathe life into dry and desolate places. Hallelujah. How many know the scripture says you can speak to the mountain and the mountain can get out of your way, can be cast into the sea. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Luke 8, 40 through 58. And I'm going to try to close with this scripture. But this is one of my favorites, so it might be a challenge. But I really want to get to the second part of this scripture. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, this is Luke 8, starting at verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I mean, they had an anticipation of something to come. They were waiting on Jesus' presence in their midst. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. People kept him from getting where he needed to be. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and you say, who touched me?" Come on. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." How many know Jesus speaks to her? And I don't want to even dwell on this, but I can't help it a little bit. How many know she has been in this situation for 12 years? She has an issue of blood that by order of the law makes her unclean. And what she literally has to do when anybody comes close to her is she has to say, "I'm unclean. Don't touch me, because if you touch me, then you become unclean." But she decides to risk it this day. And in the multitude, maybe nobody will notice she's there. And she slips in from behind and she touches his garment. And immediately she's made whole. And Jesus stops the procession, parts the crowd, and says, "Who touched me?" And her greatest fear is, now I've been exposed. But at the risk of being exposed, I got my healing. I mean, sometimes you got to take a risk. Sometimes you got to press in. Sometimes you got to quit looking at the crowd you've been hanging out with and not be afraid of their words and say, "You know what, I'm going to risk it all, because at the risk of being found out, I'm going to risk it, because maybe today is my day." Yeah. But Jesus' words to her was not one of condemnation or failure or rebuke. Amen. He said, "I felt something leave my body. I felt something discharge. I felt something discharge out of me. I felt virtue flow out of me." And he said unto her, "Daughter." I love that. He doesn't just call her woman. He calls her daughter. Hallelujah. A term of endearment. "My daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, where's Jesus going? To Jairus' house, because his daughter needs a healing. What's that day at Jairus' house? What happens? What happened at Jairus' house? Jesus raised her from the dead. Thank you. We're going to get this. Come on. What happened at Jairus' house? We didn't read it yet. Let's go on. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble the master no more. This hit me last night. You are too much trouble for the master. Don't bother him anymore. Your situation is dead. Your baby's dead. Your daughter is dead. Your seed is dead. Don't bother the master. Don't be a bother to the master. Hallelujah. But when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Whose word you going to take? Whose word you going to take? One confesses she's dead and you're too much trouble for Jesus. Another, Jesus said, just have faith, only believe. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father of the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but she sleepeth. Whoever said she was dead, that's not true. They said that. He didn't say that. Whoever, weep not, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and saying, maid, another translation says, daughter, arise. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a whole lot I would not do in this world for my daughter. Yeah. I have two of them. Or my granddaughters. Or my grandson. Yeah. You may think my babies are dead. You may think I'm too much trouble for the master. But it ain't over till it's over. And you are not the final word. He is. Hallelujah. I'm going to press on until I see what I want to see. You may not have as much at stake as I do, but I'm going to press in because your words are not the words I'm going to hear. I'm going to listen to what the master said. And he put them all out, took her by the hand, called and said, maid, arise. Get up. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Hallelujah. Jesus intercepts the words of their mouth with the words of his. Do not fear, only believe. You may feel like you got the breath knocked out of you, but prophesy anyway. Prophesy anyway. Hallelujah. Prophesy anyway. You may think you're too much trouble for the master, but prophesy anyway. You might think it's hopeless for your baby girl. Prophesy anyway. You might think it's hopeless for your son. Prophesy anyway. You might think it's hopeless for your marriage. Prophesy anyway. You might think it's hopeless for your finances. Prophesy anyway. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Quit looking at dry bones. Start looking for the army. Quit looking for death. Start looking for the miracle. Quit looking for sickness. Start looking for healing. Quit looking at what you've been looking at. Quit focusing on what's on the earthly and start looking for the hand in the heavens that says it's about get down, get yourself down, prepare your chariot because I'm about to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Because if you hear it, you'll respond to it. Hallelujah. And there starts to be a shaking and then a rattling and then a moving. And all of a sudden, bones come together, sinew to sinew. Life comes and they stand up. Exceeding great army. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. There's an exceeding great army in this place. There are miracles in this house. There are life changers in this house. There are world changers in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is our focus today? We can focus on who's not here. We can focus on those who have come. We can focus on what's not being seen, or we can focus on what is being seen. Hallelujah. Are you tired of looking at the negative, the dry, the forsaken? Come on, somebody. I see a great army. I see healings. I see children. I see daughters being raised up. Hallelujah. While that woman had been in her condition for 12 years, another girl had lived 12 years. She was about to start the cycle that lady was being healed of. Hallelujah. But how many know Jesus had time for both of those daughters? Hallelujah. I'm a generational preacher. I believe it's for the generations that have gone by past us and also for the generations to come. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Just lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus.